We live in a political world. Love don't have any place. We living in times when men commit crimes and crime don't have a face. We live in a political world. Icicles hanging down. Wedding bells ringing, angels singing, clouds cover up the ground. We live in a political world. Wisdom is thrown into jail. It rots in a cell misguided as hell. Leaving no one to pick up the trail. We live in a political world. Where mercy walks the plank. Life is in mirrors. Death disappears up the steps of you, the nearest bank. We live in a political world. Courage is a thing of the past. The houses are haunted, children are unwanted. The next day could be your last. We live in a political world. The one we can see and feel. But there's no one to check. It's all a stacked deck. We all know for sure that it's real. Political world. The cities with a lonesome fear. Little by little, you turn to the middle, but you're never sure why you're here. We live in a political world. Under the microscope, you can travel anywhere and hang yourself there. You always got more than enough room. We live in a political world.
Oh, my friends, we're living in such a horrendous political world. Welcome back to the second hour. Second hour, of course, of Perspectives on America. And that's pretty much where we're at. Aren't we? I don't know. It's unbelievably frustrating. Unbelievably frustrating. I don't know what the future is going to bring for this country. I really don't. Unbelievable. I worked on a project over the weekend. It's a project I started many months ago. There's a writer over Patriot Post that I've never spoken with. I can't find an email on her, can't get a hold of her. But I did contact their main office with a request to talk with her, and I explained why. I've been publishing a good amount of her stuff on one of our sites, metropolis.cafe. Turns out that she's a former teacher. And that's kind of cool. Everything she's writing, she publishes a new piece every 2 weeks. Been doing it for a number of years. I've got 13 of her pieces left to publish to bring me up to date. They're simplified classes for maybe homeschooling kids that would gain tremendous benefit of what she's done. Now, the difference in her writing versus the way I've published it is that I go out of my way to add a considerable number of images, which are all historically related to the piece she's writing about. So I sent this request out to Patriot Post. And of course, I got a brief note, a little upset that we've never asked for permission to republish this gal's stuff. And I put together about a 1 hour, it took me about an hour to comprise a response to their comment. as to why I never requested it. And I said, I've been publishing for, a good number of years. I first published my first website in 1999. I'm still doing websites. Two of them are still in existence, and that would be federalobserver.com. And the other one, of course, is the Dr. Kelly site. Those are my two oldest sites. In time, we developed what started out as Flying Eagle Gold. It's now Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Blah, 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 blah. You've heard all this stuff before. And so I sent a very lengthy response, and I gave her not lots of legal stuff, but as I did in the first email that I'd sent over, I sent links that I seriously wanted them to go look at. I said, look, I'm not trying to steal anything from you people. There are legal ramifications, things that I do that are, I used to publish a piece underneath each article that said this, that, and the other thing, fair notice news. You know, the use site contains copyrighted material, the use of which has not always been specifically authorized by the copyright owner. We're making such material available in our efforts to advance understanding of environmental, political, human rights, economic, democracy, on and on and on and on. And for more information, go to, and I give them a link, www.law.cornell.edu/US code 17107, blah, 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 blah. So I've sent that to them. And it's a pretty intense email that I sent to these folks. And surprisingly, they have yet to come back and respond, which kind of sucks, because I really was hoping they would. I want the original author to take a look at what I've done with her work. I think she's going to like it, being a teacher. She's got a category of her own on that website, on metropolis.cafe, and it's called Linda's Classroom. Now, if you happen to go to Metropolis, and I'm not really going to spend a lot of time on this Metropolis thing, that was not my purpose, you'll notice each of the categories, words and deeds, that is one of the most intense categories, per se, on that website. I spent close to 20 hours working on, probably 10 hours working on words and deeds over the weekend. Spent over 15 hours working on Linda's Classroom. I have complete books published on this website, Lay Metropolis Library. We've got a category dealing with the Common Core situation, or what I call Common Core Option. We have a separate section on homeschooling. And then there is a category called Mr. Adair's Classroom. Mr. Adair was my fifth grade teacher. He took me down paths that no other teacher ever did afterwards. I finally made a decision, not that I've written that many columns and postings on metropolis.cafe, but I decided to get my stuff separated. I've got a piece called Editor's Classroom. I've got a category called Annie's Classroom, which is one of our writers. Doesn't write directly for me. She spent a good number of years writing for, who the heck was it? Intellectual Takeout. And she was the head of this one particular department dealing with education-related stuff. Annie Holmquist is her name. A marvelous writer, even to this day. I still get stuff from her. Linda's Classroom, very intense amount of stuff. Mr. Benson's Classroom. Major Serson's Classroom. It's got quite a story behind his stuff. You know, it kind of goes on and on and on. I don't take from anyone. Okay, everyone gets full credit in every respect. Every one of Linda's articles has got the link going back to its original article. So that's what my weekend was like. So then, I have a good friend who you know of, Charles Dickens. Yes, the great-great-grandson of the Charles Dickens, the guy who wrote Christmas Carol, so many other titles that I can't even think of right this minute. My brain's a little funky. Charlie's not been writing as much lately. He's burnt out. And his wife's had some health issues, in and out of hospital, worried about taking care of her. That's important. But the stuff he's writing is still profound. It says what needs to be said. He sent me his latest writing a couple of days ago. It was entitled The Program. Underneath it, he had a subtitle called Programmed by the Programmers. Programming. I did something that's not that unusual. I do some things with Charlie's work that I know he submits this stuff to some other people too, but I'm the one guy that knows just what to do and where to go with this. So we took the title he supplied me with plus the subtitle and combined it all into one title. Programming. But what's the mentality of the programmers? Don't worry, we'll tell you what to think. When Charles sent me this article the other day, he made reference at the top of the article to, you know, he sends this to a couple of other people that, you know, send me comments about what you think. Well, I responded to his original email and said, you know how I respond. I respond visually with images. And we've done just that. Charles begins talking about he and his wife. They were watching a particularly engaging action movie the other day, and his wife says, I wonder how many people see this as reality. Do you think they know this is just entertainment, or do they think it's real? That was Charles' wife's question. And Charlie said, her perspective is spot on, and the impetus for this opinion piece, as Charlie says. The episode they're watching portrayed Russia in a particularly antagonistic light, and America as the knights in shining armor, as one would expect. And so the program gave rise to an intriguing conversation about what we see, what we as human beings believe. Now, in this film they were watching, the bad guys were plotting to take over another country by blaming America for assassinating a high-ranking official. The plot was full of twists and turns. So Charles and his wife discussed the program's entertainment value and how it set up a nationalistic fervor in people who fail to discern the difference between entertainment and reality. It's nearly indistinguishable. And so literally millions of hours of this programming are available from multiple sources with a plethora of content, all ready to indoctrinate, brainwash, promote an agenda to the unsuspecting viewer. Too few viewers recognize this as entertainment. They mistake the character's bravado for an appeal to patriotism. Come on, remember the September 11th terrorist attack in America? The military recruiting stations were packed with citizens wanting some payback. Charlie called it the Rambo syndrome. Patriots wanting to protect our sovereignty. Now, it's called programming for a reason. What we see on television. When you watch your favorite program on your choice of portals or devices, are you aware of what you see? The average person spends over 7 hours per day looking at screens. Now, Charlie works at home. His average is easily more than twice that. I'm in the same category except this past weekend. It was a lot more than that. Not the television screen. I'm working on my computer screen. Charles says, are you skeptical of or oblivious to the propaganda and persuasion pouring from your personal altar of enlightenment? That would be your video screen. Charlie uses this metaphor and has done so in the past to refer to the amount of time we spend glued to various communication devices looking for answers, hoping to find enlightenment, permission, or even redemption from our problems, and to learn what's happening, baby. I mean, it's very much like seeking guidance from the Almighty, or maybe even a guru. How do you decide or discern fact from fiction in the messages you receive? Do you even bother to wonder? Or like too many Americans, do you just accept it and go on about your business, feeling enlightened or vindicated? How do you know if the content is actual, factual, contrived, or maybe just an amalgamation and permutation of information, misinformation, and disinformation? Isn't it all just advertising? I mean, sadly, we're so inundated with data that it's difficult to distinguish fact from fiction. My friend Charlie treats everything as suspect, unless he knows the source and the sender. But even then, he's skeptical, dubious, until he can corroborate the data and substantiate the premise. And as a result, his close circle of friends call him super cynic. Well, I happen to be in that, I believe, close circle of friends. I've never called him a super cynic. He's a realist. He and I think in so many respects along the same lines. But that doesn't stop Charles from trying to guide them, trying to get them to wake up, to remind them that what they're watching on television, the screens, is just advertising. He doesn't insist that they buy any advertised product or believe anything that his friends hear or you hear. Personal, fundamental decision that no one can make for you except yourself. The treatise that passes for news is even more appalling, since it contains blatant and obvious partisan political propaganda and bias. That is one of the areas that ticks me off. But Charlie's goal is to make you aware that you are being programmed by everything you see and hear. In all this ballyhoo, which is, by the way, a polite word for bullshit, there are ulterior motives behind these messages in all their forms. Let me share with you some statistics. Americans view the corporate media complex, or CMC. 80% of Americans get their news from digital devices. 50% from social media. 67% think that fake news creates a great deal of confusion. 26% are confident in their ability to recognize fake news. 38% accidentally share fake news. 78% of conservatives believe that the news is biased. Wonder what makes them think that. Of course, 50% of moderates believe in biased reporting. Then 44% of the liberals think it's biased. And 36%, believe it or not, think the reporting is just right. Think about these statistics, people. Then consider the other number involved. If 25% don't trust something, that means that 75% do. If 26% of Americans are confident that they can recognize fake news, and 74% are not so confident, that, dear listeners, is a crucial point. But Charlie wants to remind us that there are no arbiters of truth for the CMC. No one fact-checks these stories. It's an honor system. It's up to the individual sources or broadcasters to police their content. The fact-check will frequently involve manipulating data points to bias them in support of a partisan political narrative. It's termed spin, because lie is an ugly negative word, right? Look, the important note is that too few people are punished for their involvement in creating or spreading it. These folks all seem to have a get-out-of-jail-free card from their sponsors. But one wonders, who fact-checks? The fact-checkers? Like asking a toddler who took the cookie. Let's refer to a moment, for a moment, to the First Amendment, where it states Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Interesting word in that statement. Abridge. Abridge or abridging means to reduce or lessen in duration, scope, authority, etc. Diminish, curtail, to shorten by the omission of words without the sacrifice of sense. Abridge implies a reduction in compass or scope with retention of essential elements and a relative completeness in the result. You see, the First Amendment is their license to lie, a privilege they abuse freely. It also applies liberally to the entertainment industry. Rarely are there any disclaimers on an entertainment program's informing viewers of the content's veracity, only to warn them of objectionable content. Charles finds lying the most reprehensible of all. But then there's no rating system for violating the Constitution now, is there? The arbiter of this document is the United States Supreme Court. Oh, they stay quite involved with disputed interpretations of this document between bickering factions on the implied meaning of words, not written but inferred. And they do so by loosely interpreting the possible, probable, and assumed intent. Look, the chief aim of the United States Constitution was to create a government powerful enough to act on the national level, but without so much power to risk or limit fundamental rights. It is a contract between the people and the government as the foundation for our legal system. Well, it was a new approach for a national government by self-ruling citizens, a democratic republic that George Washington called the Great Experiment. Well, Uncle Sugar then granted the Federal Communications Commission broad powers to regulate media content. Oh, Uncle Sugar is the epithet for our federal government, from whom all things come, much like a sugar daddy in the vernacular. The rating system is self-policing. Government intervention is limited to the loudest voices from the concerned citizens' comments or criticism or complaints. They create they enforce the rules as needed to address those very concerns. Remember? Free speech? Freedom of the press? You see, their comfort with misleading the public sets up a perplexing dichotomy. Why is it commendable for the media to lie, but contemptible for individuals? Aren't we afforded the same rights in the First Amendment? Freedom of speech? Freedom of the press? Then why is it wrong for me to lie to influence someone when it is perfectly legal for the CMC to do precisely the same thing? I mean, if I misrepresent something to influence someone or something, it's a lie. But when the CMC does it, it's their freedom of the press? Really? I don't see the difference. Either you have the right or you don't. If it can be taken away, or rationalized, or elucidated, it's not a right. It's a privilege. Now, as Charles said, he's not part of the CMC. But those reporters are individuals performing a function, so perhaps if I claim that I'm a journalist, I can just lie my ass off, avoiding all consequences. This double standard and its contradictory of application is precisely the problem in this republic today, and its interpretive multi-tiered rationalization of propriety and morality. It's administered based on cult affiliation and membership. Cult, in this case, includes ethnicity, national origin, financial solvency, partisan political positions, your station in the republic, and especially who's persecuting you. Who is persecuting you? Think about this, my friends. Americans spend about 13 hours per day on phones and other media being subjected to advertising. That's propaganda the entire time. Take a moment to think about the impact on the average person who watches over 2 million commercials a year. In the 1970s, people were exposed to 500 ads per day. Today, it's over 5,000. Oh, yeah. There are 5.3 trillion ads shown online annually. 31% contain emotional content. 16% have rational content. Oh, and color? Oh, color plays a crucial role in advertising. Red equals passion, aggression, power. Blue is serenity and calmness. White is purity. Yellow equals energy. Green is health and environment. Interesting. That responds to an advertisement that I've been watching for a Medicare alternative. And there's a lot of green in that commercial, including the clothes that the gal who's doing the ad is doing. She's a cute gal. That's besides the point. So keep these things in mind. The next time you watch any ad, political or otherwise, pay particular attention to the colors used in their commercial and reference the list above. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Wow. You know, it's taken a fair amount of time. I've known Julie for a lot of years. She's known me. But I've really kind of drawn her into this music portion of the program, and she's getting good at it. Thanks, honey. As we mentioned before the break, we talked about the colors. Talking about the next time we watch an ad, political or otherwise, pay attention to the colors used in the commercial and reference that list. Green, health and environment, and yellow, energy. White is purity. Blue is serenity and calmness. Red is passion, aggression, power, anger maybe. All this is impossible when you consider radio advertising, of course. But they use background music to the same extent. Pay close attention to the music in any broadcast or movie. Controls your mood, amplifies your attention, or piquing your interest. It can be calming or exciting, depending greatly on the message. What are the subliminal tools? Go back and listen to the music thing. Pay close attention to the music in any broadcast. Controls your mood, amplifies your attention. Look at this massive variety of music that I use in this program. Probably more so than any broadcaster at this network. So what are subliminal tools? Subliminal refers to employing stimuli insufficiently intense to produce a discrete sensation, but often being or designed to be intense enough to influence the mental process or behavior of the individual, you, or the influences or messages, how they affect your mind without you being aware of them. Simple answer is there is a science to all of this. My friends, we're being programmed. You remember Joey's speech from Philly? Joey being Biden. Philadelphia, September the 1st, 2022, with the blood red background, the two Marines standing at attention flanking him. What was that subliminal message in that address? Well, frankly, it's anything but friendly. It was intimidating. What about his recent State of the Union address? There was a giant American flag behind him. Now, that's a symbol of a unified republic. Was that a friendly, informative presentation of unity and solidarity, or was it an angry rant? What was the subliminal message? Well, as you would listen to the presentation, something caught Charlie's attention. He heard Biden say, "The threat to democracy must be defended." Go to any recording of this particular epic bloviation. Listen to the words Biden used. His Freudian slip tells us that his orders are to destroy our democracy. The direct quote, "The threat to democracy must be defended." People, there's no such thing as coincidence. That statement was a Freudian slip of monumental importance. You get it? According to the official presidential palace transcript, the line was written as, "But we must be honest. The threat remains and democracy must be defended." But what he said was, "The threat to democracy must be defended." The threat to democracy? Somewhere in Biden's head, within all the disorientation, the chaos, the lies floating in the tapioca pudding that is his brain, abides the truth. The NASP's goal is to destroy our republic, people. And regardless of Biden's mental state or its acuity, this is the only program he knows. It is the continuation of Obama's mission to fundamentally change America, which is Biden's sole purpose as president. Biden was installed to continue and complete the Obama NASP transformation process. The annual State of the Union address is supposed to be about the republic, not a partisan political platform and party position proclamation. There was no unity. It was all vitriol. There's no subliminal messaging buried in this Freudian slip. In his head, this is what Biden understands. This is the program. And now, my friends, you must draw the parallel to the condition of our republic and all the inane decisions made and being shoved up our assets. A-S-S-E-T-S. Energy independence, open borders, our embarrassing withdrawal from Iraqistan, unsustainable spending, unfathomable mounting debt, the proxy wars on four fronts, renewed alliances with China, Iraq, North Korea, Russia, and Hamas against our ally Israel? Who would have even imagined all of this? Now, from a personal standpoint, and this is Jeff Bennett speaking, I don't consider Israel our ally. I don't consider them our enemy, but they're certainly on the receiving end of big buckos from our Congress every single year. When does Israel begin to stand on its own? In so many respects, they've done it. But these alliances that we have, the massive Chinese immigration situation we're dealing with in this country, Chinese people coming in here buying up farmland, taking over and controlling public schools in many areas in this nation. We're trying to make friends with people who have been enemies for years. Let's put it this way, folks. Joe Biden could not make friends with me. And yet here we are. We're being told that all of this is under control by a regime with the destruction of the republic as its only goal. Every CMC outlet sings the same scripted song in the same key with the same passion that we're all going to be just fine when the NASP and Biden destroy Trump in the next elections. Look at all Biden's done in 3 years, so imagine what he can do with another four. Oh, God. I'd be concerned what that guy would do in the next 4 minutes, besides pee in his pants. Think about this. We're all going to be just fine when the NASP and Biden destroy Trump in the next elections. Look at all Biden's done in 3 years, so imagine what he can do with another four. I mean, you can read the sarcasm into that line if you'd like. The frightening truth behind that line is that the NASP is using it to reassure their cult members. That is part of their programming. So if you bleed blue, you believe that mantra. Are we the citizens of this republic in or out of control of the people deciding our direction? Yeah. I'd say we, the people, we're out of control of these people. Are we driving this ship of state, or are we simply the passengers being taken for a ride? Oh, yeah, like the Titanic. Folks, we don't even realize who's steering the sinking ship of state. It's all hidden behind a curtain of complexity, convolution, and crap. And, oh, for Charlie to use my favorite word, what he's trying to explain to you is what he means by all of this. Complexity, convolution, and crap. Is all bullshit. I know that that word, when I use it as often as I do, I'm sure certainly offends some of our listeners. There's a lot more for you to be offended by than my use of that word. Why do we trust the people we hire, those whom we elect? We trust them to manage our republic on our behalf? These people are our employees, and now they're telling us what we should think, how to react, what they want us to know through the CMC. They not only pilot this failing republic, but they also have the temerity to mandate every aspect of our lives. My friends, we're only a few small steps from becoming an autocracy. And the CMC has been programming us to accept anything and everything we see or hear on the altars of enlightenment as the gospel. Note, the CMC is a dotted line department of the administration being used to program the citizens of this republic. Keep in mind, George Orwell wrote about this in his dystopian novel, 1984. He called the government Big Brother. And after revisiting his book, it appears to be the model for the Obama-Biden regime, NASP, with a few nuances and tweaks to appear above board. Maybe Orwell was a visionary like George Washington. Washington, who warned of the baneful effect of the spirit of party. Or maybe Dwight D. Eisenhower, who warned us about the military-industrial complex, the MIC, that he called the Iron Triangle. Congress was added later by Lieutenant General Charles Robertson in 2011. And he said it's no longer a triangle, it's a box with unequal sides and irregular quadrilateral. We're in it. My friends, listeners, what you believe is your choice. You can accept every word from the CMC or decide what and who you believe. It's a difficult addiction to break, much like heroin. You never really kick the habit. One small taste and you're back in the horse. That's the insidious nature of programming. You're hooked for life. NASP wants us ignorant, well indoctrinated with the truth as they interpret it. It's the mantra they pound into every blue-blooded nationalist American Socialist Party member in every message from every portal. They're fishing for unsuspecting, unwary, uninformed citizens open to a catchy line in attractive programs that misinform, misdirect, manage to hit the record button in your minds. It's a lie for me, but not for thee. The Constitution protects you, the NASP, and it condemns me if I don't toe the party line. The First Amendment is clear. As is the intent of our Constitution, either it applies to everyone equally or to no one. There are either rights or privileges. From where I sit, from where Charles Dickens sits, we're losing our privileges daily and quickly indeed. Joe Biden, Joseph Marionette Biden, in 2024, U.S. President from 2021 to God knows when, stated the threat to democracy must be defended. But I go back many years earlier than that. 1941. The propaganda minister from the German Third Reich, Paul Joseph Goebbels, stated that if you tell a lie often enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Unbelievable. My friend Charles Dickens, who I know is listening to this program as we speak, I have to say that as I shared a text or an email with him last night after I'd finally had published this article on Federal Observer, this was one of the most difficult, one of his articles to publish and get. It's not that it wasn't setting in my mind, because I agreed. I understood exactly what he was getting at. Took a lot of work to put this thing together, but part of my work when I'm publishing pieces of this caliber, as Charles, when he sent it over to me, which was Friday or Saturday, I think it was Saturday. No, it was Sunday. This is Tuesday. I think he sent it over on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, maybe Monday. And when he sent it to me and a couple of other people, said he awaits any comments that we may wish to add about his article. And as I told you early on in this hour, that my response to Charles was, you know what my comments will be, and they'll be made up with the images I choose. Don't worry. We'll tell you what to think. How appalling. I had some images I'd not used before. Others I've used, certainly, a number of times. Each one fits. Each one makes a statement, even without words. One of the pieces I'd come across, I guess I'd saved it some months ago, a piece called Free Thinkers. Freethinkers will always seem crazy to those who don't take time to research. Never apologize for evolving past people's comfort zone. I guess in some respects that last statement fits me. And I won't apologize for evolving past your comfort zone. Yeah, there's times I get up here and I get a little loosey-goosey. Tough beans. My goal is to make you think outside the box. Take responsibility. Think. Think for yourselves. Stop allowing someone else to think for you, my friends. Does that make sense? I certainly hope so. Because if it doesn't, then what point has any of it been anymore? Pure insanity. Last Wednesday, we did not do a health-related program, which we normally do on Wednesdays. I don't know if I'm going to do one tomorrow. Now, that's very unusual for me. But there's a lot going on. I've got to kind of get caught up. Let's see what we can do. I've not actually published something on the Kelly site for some weeks, couple of weeks. And that is very, very unlike me. But I've got a lot going on. So bear with it. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And if we do get together, well, we'll get together. If we don't, have a drink for me, would you? I know I'm a little twisted, but that's the nature of the beast. Anyway, as I mentioned earlier, why is this doing? This is crazy. I've got something that's happened here. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I did something that I thought didn't lay down right. It's fine. Anyway, I'm mumbling. It's the end of 2 hours. I'm tired, but I'm not going to be going to sleep. It's just remember, we're praying for time. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year, yeah, yeah. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.